Your next speaker is Eddie Parrish.
And I wanted for us this morning to spend some time looking from a biblical perspective at why each of us, as members of this congregation, should attend as many of those lectures as we possibly can. Now, obviously, this being a lectureship that involves daytime lectures as well as evening ones, it's not going to be possible for all of us to attend all of them if you have job obligations and other things that you simply are not able to get out of to be able to attend all of those. That's understandable. But to whatever degree we can make sacrifices and be able to attend these lectures, we need to do that. And I think there are a number of reasons why that's the case, and I want for us to consider them this morning. Number one, we should attend as much as possible because of the value of the subject matter. Because of the value of the subject matter. The New Testament speaks often about the value of the Old Testament. Sometimes we've been accused in churches of Christ of not believing in the Old Testament. Just recently, we, in our series of lessons that we've been doing on the truth and love, about understanding Bible authority. One of the things that we did as one of those lessons was to point out what the Bible teaches about making the proper distinction between the covenants. And that if we don't properly understand the role of the Old Testament and the role of the New Testament, we'll not handle God's Word aright. 2 Timothy 2:15. We'll find ourselves caught in problems and difficulties if we don't properly understand the Testaments. And of course, letters have come in and some have not been favorable as it relates to what I taught regarding the Old Testament. And for a number of years, it's been said that members of churches of Christ have no use for the Old Testament. Well, statements like that are based upon misunderstandings of reality. And I certainly don't question the motives of any individual. But it's not accurate to say that the Old Testament is not valuable. Those who understand the truth understand that. In Romans chapter 15, verse 4, Paul, writing a New Testament document, said the things which were written before time, referencing the Old Testament, were things written for our learning. That we, Christians, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. The text read earlier, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 6 and following, is a text that makes that point. That God wants for us to take the time necessary to study the Old Testament, so that we can learn the lessons that God wants for us to learn from the Old Testament. If you'll note specifically verse 6 of 1 Corinthians 10. Now these things became our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. And he goes through and lists a number of the problems that people had back at that time and sins that they committed. He talks about lust there and idolatry, verse 7. Fornication, verse 8. Putting God to the test, verse 9. Complaining, murmuring, verse 10. And he said in verse 11, all of these things happened to them as examples. As examples for whom? Examples for us. Notice again verse 11. And they were written down for our admonition. There is value to Old Testament study. Even though the law of Moses nor patriarchy are the laws to which we are accountable in the specifics, in other words, as the old law taught animal sacrifice and things like that, we don't go back to the old law to find out the particulars, the specifics of what God wants us to do to be pleasing to Him today. Those specifics are found in the New Testament. But the Old Testament is valuable and useful, and God demands that we study it so that we can learn the general principles that we can then apply to the specifics that we do learn about in the New Testament. That's the proper view of the old law. And so these things happened as examples. There are principles that we're to gain from those things. And God wants us to gain those principles, and we're only hurting ourselves when we don't take advantage of opportunities to study from all of God's Word. And so from a general standpoint, the value of the subject matter that will be a part of our lectureship is important enough for us to make the necessary time to be here as much as we possibly can. But then think more about the specifics. As you look through the brochure, you can see some of the specific things that will be studied that are vitally important for us. There will be lessons concerning Solomon. Both the good that Solomon did, such as his request to God for wisdom as he ruled God's people. And there'll be things concerning the bad with regard to Solomon. The foreign alliances, marriages that he made that ultimately cost him his faithfulness to God. A lot of lessons in that for us to learn. We'll study at one point the division of the kingdom and the lessons that can be learned from the division of God's kingdom of old that will apply today to matters related to the church and division that often characterizes the body of Christ. Great lessons to be found there. We'll study at some point the great event on the top of Mount Carmel, 1 Kings chapter 18, where Elijah, the prophet of God, met wicked King Ahab and his 450 false prophets when they had their showdown, to see once and for all who was truly God. And the question that Elijah asked the people of God that day, how long halt ye between two opinions? How long do you go limping between the two sides? If Jehovah is God, then follow Him. And if Baal, then follow him. How important it is for us to make up our minds who we're going to serve. We'll learn about that at the lectureship. We'll also be encouraged by knowing that even today, as bleak as things sometimes may seem to be in the Lord's church, there are still some today that have not yet bowed the knee to Baal. To make the application from 1 Kings 19 and the lesson that Elijah learned. We'll study about Josiah, God's good king, and how Josiah, in his great restoration of God's law, found God's law hidden among the rubble of a torn down and broken down temple. Can you imagine how bad things must have been among God's people that they could have reached the point where they had lost the law of God? It happened. We'll learn about it this week, next week. We'll study about the sad statement regarding Jehoram, where it says in the Bible that he departed this life to no one's sorrow. What lessons might there be in that for us today? We'll study about the great restorers of God's people. Ezra restored the law following the captivity. We'll hear lessons about Nehemiah, the one who helped in the rebuilding of the walls around the city. We'll study of Esther and her courage and the providence of God that permeates that great Bible book. There'll be sessions for everyone. Special sessions for the ladies in the morning. Lessons tailored especially for you. We'll hear lessons about great King Hezekiah and his restoration efforts. And we'll study that question, a haunting question. And Hezekiah was asked, "What have they seen in thy house?" What a question for us to think about. What do people see in our houses? See, there are a lot of things a lot of practical and useful lessons that come in our study of those great books. And there'll be a lot more that I haven't even had time to mention this morning. But our lectureship is worthy of our time because of the value of the subject matter. Number two, we should attend as much as we can because of the opportunity that will be ours to learn at the feet of wise men and women. The opportunity to learn at the feet of some very wise people. Think back to some of those names that I mentioned earlier from the very first of the Fort Worth lectures. Roy Lanier Sr., Tom Warren, Avon Malone, a couple of others I didn't mention earlier, Furman Curley, Andrew Connolly. The names of men whose voices will never be heard on this earth again, except in whatever ways their voices may have been preserved by tape. We don't have opportunities anymore to hear again those men. How many more years will we have some of the men that will be on our lectureship this year? How many more years do we have them left? Oh, I hope we have them many, many more. But the reality is, we're all getting older. How many more times will we have the opportunity to hear Wendell Winkler? I hope many more. How many more times will we have to hear a Hardeman Nichols? I hope many more. These are great opportunities that we have to listen to the wisdom that comes not only with age, but with the amount of study that's been put into all of those years of life. Doesn't the Bible speak of the importance of learning from those that are wise by age and experience? Job said, Job 12, verse 12, wisdom is with aged men, and with length of days, understanding. There are a number of those that will be speaking at our lectureship that would fit into that category. Proverbs 16, verse 31 says, gray hair is a crown of glory. It is gained in a righteous life. Many of you have been crowned several times. So have many of our speakers that will be on the lectureship. And the gray hairs that they have gained by righteous living will be on display for us to learn from, for the purpose of making us better people, to bring us to a greater understanding of what God would have us to do. It's an opportunity that not everyone has. On a personal note, I treasure the opportunities that I have personally had to sit at the feet of men like Tom Warren, Avon Malone, and others that I hope I learned a lot from. And those are opportunities a lot of times that we don't appreciate until those opportunities are no longer available to us. Let's not make the mistake of not taking advantage of those kinds of opportunities while we have them. The opportunity to learn at the feet of these wise people is reason enough to take advantage of the opportunity to attend the lectureship. Number three. We should desire to attend because of the wonderful fellowship of Christians. Brothers and sisters in Christ from great distances will be here, because many of them recognize what a great opportunity we have right here in our laps to listen to the wisdom of of these men and women who have made great preparation to present God's Word. And the opportunity to be with brothers and sisters in Christ from other places is another way in which we are reminded that we're not alone in our desire to stand firmly for God's truth. We mentioned earlier Elijah, 1 Kings 19, and his statement to God that everybody was trying to take my life. They're out to get me, and I alone am left, he said. And yet God's response was, Elijah, there are 7,000 in the city that have not bowed the knee to Baal. It's easy sometimes for us to get the Elijah complex and to think that in some ways maybe we're in this all alone. That's not the case. I don't intend to minimize the grave circumstances that face the church today. There is a widespread apostasy in the church today. There's no question about it. But we'll be able to once again be reminded by being able to be with Christians from other places that we're not in this alone. There are 7,000 that haven't bowed the knee to Baal. And what a great opportunity that is to share together. The early church continued steadfastly in fellowship, Acts 2:42. John wrote in 1 John 1, verse 7, that if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. We'll be able to enjoy the fellowship of others who are walking in the light, as we're trying to do. Let me give you just a little bit of the preacher's perspective. These gatherings for things like lectureships offer an opportunity for preachers to be together. And the lectureship is not just for preachers. It's true that preachers gather at them, and it offers them an opportunity to be together. But it's not just for preachers. But from the preacher's perspective, it's a great opportunity that I personally look forward to as a preacher of the gospel. Because after multiplied weeks of emptying my cup, it's nice to have a week where I can refill mine so that I can then have something else to empty out. And it's not just the ability to hear the lessons, though that's important. But the ability to be with others with whom a preacher shares a common bond. And I'm really convinced that you as a congregation can, will, and do benefit from that. To whatever degree it enables me to talk to others with whom I share a commonality. Commonality of problems, struggles, challenges, victories, joys. That refills my cup. That can't do much but help the rest of you when you have a preacher whose cup is getting refilled. So there's benefit for all of us. There's no reason for the Fort Worth lectures to become old hat to us. But maybe because it's been done so much that with some of us it has. And we may look at it more as a burden, a weight, than we do an opportunity to grow, to mature, to draw closer to Christians from all over the place and draw closer to God through our study of His Word. Next week can be and will be a grand opportunity to feast on the Word of God, to learn from the wisdom and Bible study of others, and to enjoy a small taste of the fellowship that we all hope to enjoy one day when this life is over. Don't miss the opportunity. Take advantage of as much of it as you possibly can. Is it a tiring week? It is. But like with a lot of other things, by the time you're done, you'll be able to say, it's a good tired. Because it's time well spent. But maybe more than just the lectureship has become old hat. Maybe your life as a Christian has become that. I hope it hasn't. But if it has, it doesn't have to be that way. And I hope that you see the need to make sure that your life is vibrant in Christ. And that you're really enjoying the abundant life that the Lord wants you to have. John 10, verse 10. If you're not, then get back into His Word. And get back into a life of fervent prayer. And you'll enjoy the benefits of that time well spent. If you are an unfaithful child of God that needs to come home, take advantage of the opportunity that's being given to you right now to make those changes. And if that includes some kind of public response, we stand ready to help you. If you're not one of God's children this morning, you can become one. Jesus died to save your soul. Hebrews 2, verse 9. If you will put your faith and trust in Him as God's Son, repent of your sins, confess your faith in Him, be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, and the blood that He shed for you will wash your sins away.